is Hacker Public Radio. Today your hosts are Dossman,
Shane,
and Shane, and we're going to talk a little bit about what happened at Nauticon this year, what we did for the event, and some other stuff, lock picking, other stuff that we did also.
Some real famous artwork that totally didn't get voted up, but should have been.
Yes, George had some tremendous artwork. Gosh, I don't even think I could describe it. I won't even try. Maybe we can post it someplace. We can post it in the show notes. There we go.
That'd be perfect.
So I guess, yeah, Nauticon happened the first weekend of April this year. Shane did a bunch of work leading up for it. Froggy and Tiger asked us if we were going to be doing another lockpicking pagoda this year. And we kind of got together and said, yeah, okay. And what all did you do for the pagoda this year?
Well, the design idea started last year, actually, while I was at DEF CON's Lockpicking Village. And I thought, wow, this has got to be a royal pain if somebody comes along like what happened at Nauticon this year and comes along and just attacks a lock with such fury that they break it immediately. And, you know, how are they going to really change that out? So when I ended up moving out here and started actually being a part of the group and all, I looked at designing something that would be modular, that would vaguely travel well, and that could have stuff easily changed out on it. So being that I spent a lot of time in Japan, I started out by making some Tori gates, which are the gates that you see in front of most temples. And I took those, I made wall pieces that go in the centerpiece. There's two slats per gate, and those are held in with eye bolts. And you just yank the eye bolts out, and you can swap those planks out pretty much however you want to do that. And on the eye bolts, we had padlocks, and in the walls themselves, there were three locks each. And the walls kind of progressed from really easy to sort of easy to nobody opened any lock on this wall. And you know, we were cool. We managed to open up one of the locks on the wall, but not while I was actually in the wall. And then there was another lock that everybody was convinced was broken, but I opened it, so it's not broken.
It's in very good style there. Too. Boom, it's open. Yeah, that thing you've been working on for the last 2 hours. Sorry about you. It works.
Yeah, we're really sorry if you're listening, but that was funny. I did manage to pull out about 4 tons of dust that came off of all the pins, so they probably don't really look like pins inside of there anymore with everybody attacking them. So
yes, a lot of good damage on the locks. Gosh,
they've got pictures up.
Yes, on the Bloomington Fools website. We, of course, our Locksport group is Fraternal Order of Locksport, and of course, based out of the city of Bloomington, Indiana, we have bloomingtonfools.org, and we've got a couple photos up there. You can also just go to Flickr and look up for Nauticon 5 2008 photos.
Make sure you skip that one guy that took a bunch of scenery pictures and tagged it with Nauticon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, douche.
So you spent a lot of time on this leading up to Nauticon.
I spent a lot of time on it on my weekends and everything. It's stained and it's rubbed with Dutch oil, and I made some shingles and stuff like that, but I don't know. It was a fun project for me. It was much more fun than sanding down all of my kitchen cabinets and restaining those. But the part that really we were showing out for is because Dossman gave a great and well received talk.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually gave a talk. This was the first con that I've actually given a talk at. And I talked about my talk was entitled something like mechanic or lock picking into the new frontier from mechanical to electronic locks or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. And I talked basically the basic primer on lock picking, and then went into some high security locks, and then talked about some electronic lock systems that I've built devices for that unlock them, and talked about some things I'd like to get my hands on, like CyberLock. If anyone has a CyberLock, I'd love to get a hold of me, DOSman at packetsniffers.org, and I will reimburse you handsomely, or at least in some form or fashion. So anyway, that seemed to be well received, and that was really fun getting to do that and get to talk to some of the people that I first saw a presentation on lock picking from that came up and gave me a congrats and all that, like Jimmy Chan and Colonel Panic and Ed Al, other folks. So some of the other stuff leading up to Nauticon, George and Zach put in a lot of time working on some music for the block party. We made that reference about George's artwork stunning the audience. He had a photo submission, and that was a very the tamest picture of his.
And it really did stun everybody. I don't think that, I mean, everybody had a wisecrack for everything else but this. Because really, nothing really topped the wisecrack that was the artwork in the first place.
Yes, yes. And for those, I guess I should back up a little bit. For those that might not be aware, for the last 2 years now, Jason Scott and Radman have been hosting something called Block Party at Nauticon. It's part of the same event, and it's basically a homage to the old demo scene, and they have all kinds of entries. You could write a program that does visual and audio stuff on your Commodore or on something using the latest, programming framework for x86 architecture or whatever you want to program for. And then there were like photography, compos, music, different types of music, 8-bit streaming music, modern electronic, but the programming was the big deal with that.
There's really some awesome stuff out there. It was really good to see a lot of people turn out and a lot of people just throwing their stuff out there, whether or not it was a centaur with a goatee face, or if it was somebody's great picture that they had taken, or if it was just, some crazy music that was developed. Just it's that type of thing is just way beyond me.
I can
stain something. That's about it.
And there were some great people from that scene there. Some of the people I'd never heard of, but a couple of them I was familiar with, like Trickster, who did the full motion video on an XT thing that makes Slashdot or some site every couple of months. He had another entry this year. There was Jerry Ellsworth, who I think is really cool, that is fairly well known in the Commodore scene for, designing her own Commodore board using FPGAs and other equipment, just doing lots of cool stuff with Commodore. She designed DTV Commodore game joystick for the Home Shopping Network, which was basically a Commodore inside a joystick, one of those type of game systems. And, if you open it up, there's places where you can solder and keyboard jack and all that kind of stuff on there. So it's sort of like a sort of hiding and sneaking a modern Commodore out to the masses and for the tinkers that want to mess with it. But so anyway, lots of cool people, lots of good things out there going on. So I guess to go back into the lock picking aspect, Deviant Olam of Tool was there also in the lock picking pagoda and was just doing a kick-ass job with the Gringo Warrior. And Gringo Warrior, I don't know, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
I can. Gringo Warrior is essentially a scenario challenge that finds you getting drugged down to Tijuana with Fine Dan Kaminsky and waking up being harassed by people that may or may not be law enforcement, but you're handcuffed in a room and they want your money and they're going to give you a little while to think about it. So in the process, they neglected to take your lock picks away from you. So the scenario starts out with you in handcuffs, and there are, there's four other positions that you have to go through. Well, you don't necessarily have to go through them all, but you've got a door lock you need to pick. Then there is a cabinet lock, and then a deadbolt. And then after that, you have to go through a car lock. And the cabinet and the car lock are optional as far as how far you get away. But this is all scored on cool points and originality and difficulty, as there's three sets of locks that you can choose from at each station.
Very strong scoring system for various levels, depending on how you start out with the handcuffs. There's three or four different positions you can start out with, and the more difficult position you start out in gets you more points. And it's also at a 5 minute, you have 5 minutes to do this entire course. So time is also a factor, as well as creativity and, you know, how difficult of each lock that you pick.
Neither of us won. we tried, but
there was a guy, he was a cool guy that was hanging out at the Lockpicking Pagoda last year at Nauticon 2007, Dave Klingman, and he flew through the course in like a minute and a half or a minute.
He had his handcuffs, I think he had them behind his back. Did he do double lock behind his back or just behind his back?
I don't know. It was at least behind his back.
It was behind his back. I can't remember if they were double locked or not, but he got out of that and went through all the more difficult locks. Nobody actually went through the most difficult door lock or through the most difficult padlock, because it was a new lock that isn't quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to talk about that one too much.
Yeah. I don't know. When I did it, my first run, I made it in 3 minutes and 1 second, I believe. And I just did the medium locks all the way across. I may have done one hard lock, maybe the cabinet lock.
I think you did. Yeah, you went through pretty good.
And for early on, I was doing pretty good. I think I had 404 points, 404.
Maybe. Yeah, you.
But obviously, since I was giving a talk on lockpicking, it was definitely necessary to disqualify me from the prize, which I think was quite reasonable. I was just happy that since I was giving a talk on picking, I didn't suck it up on the course. Oh, what were the prizes that Deviant had?
I cannot remember the artist's name, but he had two really cool prints from a British artist, I want to say. If I'm wrong on any of this, don't blame me. But there were some really cool shots from a graffiti artist that he just kind of transposed into other situations. One of them was one of the billions of cameras that's around London, and it was pointed at a wall, and he had spray painted "What are you looking at?" on the wall. I thought that was pretty good. having been through Heathrow a couple of times and seen myself way too often, it's just creepy.
I've only been through Glasgow. Is that the other airport in London?
I just went through Heathrow.
I think I went through the other one, and I was rushed the whole way through, so I didn't get a chance to check out the security cameras or do anything.
You're not missing anything. It's all on tape somewhere if you want to see it again.
I'm sure I'll be imprisoned at some point for something, and I'll get to see all this. That is not an admission of any kind of guilt whatsoever. So, Nauticon was a blast. Shane was in the lockpicking pagoda room pretty much the entire weekend.
Yeah, I have no idea actually what happened at Nauticon aside from three of them. I did go see the block party judging. But that's it was at 3 a.m. and everybody else wanted to as well. The first night we went back to go make sure that nobody thought that it would be funny to pick the lock to the pagoda room and steal all of our stuff. And
yeah,
we had the room open for about 5 minutes and then the room was full again. So we stayed there for another 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I met some cool people in that time. That was definitely is kind of nice and relaxed there, but finally around 2:30 or 3, we just had to shut it down. That was quite a long Friday, but it was definitely cool. And oh yeah, speaking of the 3 a.m. demo awards, Jason Scott, if you're listening, I'd really like to see the demos because I think I was way too intoxicated at that point. I just cannot remember any of the demos. I saw some photos that seemed to possibly jog some memories for me on Flickr, but no video of that. So
I don't remember any of the demos that I saw. I just remember when the people won and thinking, I think I saw that. But afterwards, we had conversations about that, and none of us seemed to be able to remember what exactly happened.
So demoscene.us is the block party site. So at some point they're supposed to be posting the all the demos, all the entries for all the compos on there. So hopefully soon. It's not like Jason Scott's not busy or anything making two documentaries and running block party and whatever else he does. So
what? Like we all aren't busy or something. Get on it.
So, gosh, let's see. We saw the award ceremony Sunday. I don't know. What else happened?
Wow, I don't. Some guy ran into my car.
Oh yeah, that was nice.
That was great. It's not very hacker-esque, but I will tell you that some people are still dumb enough to put their socials on their driver's license. So, guy in the big white Lincoln. Don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, wasn't me. Yeah. Oh man. Well, I didn't have to drive this year, which was nice. But anyway, I'll go into that. So Zach and George did we'll see for the packet sniffers entry. The song that Zach and George made, and I had a small contribution towards. With a little voiceover that I did, came in second place for the music entry, and so that was really fun and a lot of, very cool.
And who won first place on that?
I have no idea.
Was that one that Fat Man won, or was that a different one?
Probably Fat Man and Jerry.
I know.
Probably.
Yeah, I know. There was one that Fat Man did win, and well, you know. Some people do have a certain amount of experience over others. And
considering he was showing off
yeah.
all the professional stuff he does for like big budget movies or relatively big budget movies. Movies with a budget, absolutely. That's not too unexpected, but I don't know. There's not a whole lot more, I guess, that we have to talk about at Nauticon. There are lots of things that went on. Oh yeah. Anyone, if you went to Nauticon and you saw the person dancing around in the clean suit, I'll drop some docs on Zach. That was Zach, by the way. If you didn't know that, all the photos I saw of that, they said, "Huh, some guy in a clean suit. We have no idea who it was." That.
Yeah,
he needs credit for that.
I've never seen somebody bring so many costumes to one event before.
Al was quite intrigued.
Go figure.
No comment. Sorry, Zach. You'll be able to defend yourself in another episode of Hacker Public Radio here.
I'm sure.
So... future stuff, next year's Nauticon, I don't know what'll happen, but we might have bigger and even better things going on.
We started working on our plans for our next device that we're going to unveil more than likely at Nauticon next year for a mixed media challenge. We're also thinking to have some speed picking competitions and a few other things added to the pagoda because it was just overwhelming how many people showed up in the first place. So please come back again.
Yes.
We won't sell out of everything this time.
I think the future is very, very promising for lock picking and Nauticon. So I don't know if there's anything else you can think of. I think we go ahead and start wrapping up this episode.
Yeah, I know that we're gonna work on filming the
yes,
the reinstallation of the Ocho into my house. So
yes, we have a new victim who's willing to put up the Ocho at his place since we had to take it down for since Zach moved away. Which one of the if you're not familiar with that, one of the earlier episodes of Hacker Public Radio, we discussed the Ocho and Part 15 AM broadcasting. You should just probably, you could search for Part 15, that'll find it.
That's what I did.
Yeah. So
that's about it. Eventually, there's going to be another Packet Sniffers episode, whether DOSman likes it or not.
Yeah, yeah. We'll I don't know. We've been saying it for years, but I think it might become a reality this time. We've got some enthusiasm again to get some stuff going, and we'll have an episode 6 sometime in the relatively near future.
That means in the next year.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I've been DOSman.
I'm Shane.
And this is Hacker Public Radio. And always remember, if you want to host an episode, just go to the hackerpublicradio.org site, and you can get a hold of Enigma or someone there that you so you can go ahead and you know record an episode, get it submitted. They'll get you hooked up. Anyone can contribute content. It's a fun way to build your personal speaking skills and other just talking about cool stuff that other technologists and hackers might like. So I guess that's it, and we'll
nothing. I'm sorry, that's about it.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.